Last of all, the White King himself rose and descended from the enormous throne to move to one side of the cavern. On the right side of the room were all the members of Malvora and Scavis, and on the left gathered the members of House Wraith. The Scavis and Malvora weren't actually standing together, but there was a sense of hungry anticipation in the air. "Vampires standing on both sidelines," Ramirez said. "Guess no one wants to catch a stray lightning bolt." "Or bullet," I muttered. "But it won't help them much if things get confused and turned around once the fight starts." Wraith snapped a finger, and thralls in their white kimonos began filing into the room. They swayed more than walked, filing down the sidelines of the dueling ground, and then simply knelt down in a pair of double ranks in front of the vampires on either side of the chamber. They formed, taken together, a wall like that around a hockey arena, but one made of living human flesh. Crap. Any form of mayhem that spread to the sidelines was going to run smack into human victims. And my own powers in a fight were not exactly surgical instruments. Torrents of flame, blasts of force, and impenetrable bastions of will were sort of my thing. You will note, however, how seldom words like torrent, blast, and bastion get used in conjunction with terms that denote delicacy and precision. Ramirez was going to be better off than I was in that regard. His combat skills ran more to speed and accuracy versus my own preference for massive destruction, but they were no less deadly in their own way. Carlos looked back and forth, then said to me, "They're going to try to stay on our flanks. Use those people in the background to keep us from cutting loose." "I know I never went to Warden Combat School," I told him, "but I feel I should remind you that this is not my first time." Ramirez grimaced at me. "You just aren't going to let that go, are you?" I showed him my teeth. "So I hit them fast and hard while you keep them off me. If they flank, you're on offense while I keep them off of you. Try to maneuver them out to where I'll have a clean shot." Ramirez scowled, and his voice came out with more than the usual heat. "Yes, thank you, Harry. You want to tie my shoes for me before we start?"
"Whoa, what's that?" I asked him.
"Oh, come on, man," Ramirez said quietly, his voice tight and angry. "You are lying to me. You're lying to the council." I stared at him. "I'm not an idiot, man," Ramirez said, his expression neutral. "You can barely get by in Latin, but you speak Ghoul? Ancient Etruscan? There's more going on here than a duel and internal politics, Dresden. You're involved with these things, more than you should be. You know them too well, which is a really fucking disturbing thing to realize, considering we're talking about a race of mind-benders." Vito and Madrigal emerged from the Malvoran contingent. Vito bore a long rapier at his side, and there were a number of throwing knives on his belt, as well as a heavy pistol in a holster. Madrigal, meanwhile, carried a spear with a 7-foot haft, and his arms were wrapped with 2 long strips of black cloth covered in vaguely oriental characters in metallic red thread. I'd have guessed that they were constructs of some kind, even before I felt the ripple of magical energy in them as he walked with Vito to stand facing us from 30 feet away.
"Carlos," I said, "this is one hell of a time to start having doubts about my loyalty."
"Damn it, Harry," he said, "I'm not backing out on you. It's too late for that, even if I wanted to. But this whole thing feels more and more like a setup every second." I couldn't argue with him there. I was pretty sure it was. I looked back and forth down the lengths of the ranks of vampires, all of whom watched in total silence now, gray eyes bright, edging over into metallic silver with their rising hunger. The formalities of the Accords had kept us alive and largely unmolested here amidst the monsters. But if we deviated from the conventions, we'd never live to see the surface again. We were in the same position as Madrigal and Vito, really. Win or die. And I didn't delude myself for one single second that this was going to be as simple as a stand-up fight. Part of the nature of the White Court was treachery as well. It was only a matter of time and timing before one of them turned on us, and if we weren't ready when it happened, we'd either be dead or getting fitted for our own white robes. Vito and Madrigal squared off against us, hands on their weapons. I took a deep breath and faced them. Beside me, Ramirez did the same. Lord Wraith reached up his sleeve and withdrew a handkerchief of red silk. He offered it to Lara, who took it and walked slowly down the lines of kneeling thralls. She stopped at the sidelines, midway between us, and slowly lifted the red silk. "Gentlemen," she said, "stand ready. Let no weapon of any kind be drawn until this cloth reaches the earth." My heart started pounding faster, and I drew my duster back enough to put a hand near the handle of my blasting rod. Lara flicked the scarlet silk cloth into the air, and it began to fall. Ramirez was right. This was a trap. I had done everything I could to prepare for it, but the bottom line was that I was not sure what was going to happen. But like the man said, it was too late to back out now. The cloth hit the floor and my hand blurred for my blasting rod as the duel began.